Rob is in the house. Rob, welcome to the Monday Afternoon Show again. Welcome back, I should say.
Thank you, Mitch. Thank you very much, Kieran.
It's good to have you.
Great to be back.
And how are you? You said there's a lot going on. Things have been happening.
No,
today.
Everything happened an hour ago all on Warren Street, and I'm in different directions. I don't know where to go.
That's what happens on Warren Street sometimes. It's just like things happen in different directions. I've experienced that myself. It can happen.
And I'm still in figuring, getting back down to Earth.
Okay. And this has something to do with the Samuel Setty and Sons building that you wanted to talk about, too?
Yes. I was walking down Warren Street today with my camera. I was going to take some pictures. And as I go by, a man opens the door of Samuel Setty and Son. I've never seen it open. I've been here 13 years, I've never seen it open or anybody in it.
And I don't think it has been open in 13 years.
As a store, and a gentleman came out and I said, "Are you Mr. Setty or from the Settys?" He said, "Yes." And we started talking. And he talked about how it's such a shame that he can't open up the soda fountain. Because the refrigerating units are, you know, cost so much. Mm. And to get somebody, he found somebody in Chicago, but he can't ship them out there. He would love to get somebody locally to fix it. He'd love to get that soda fountain open maybe once a month on warm days to have it open, or on a weekend so that the young people could have, you know, real milkshakes and sodas.
Cool, man. Can you imagine a soda fountain? I've actually never, ever, I've never partook in a soda fountain before.
Well, I did.
Nice.
Where my family's from Lake Placid, they had a soda fountain at the drug at Marshall's.
What kind of soda?
You'd have everything. You'd have a cherry Coke, a strawberry Coke. They'd have the syrups in the pumps.
Hmm.
And then you could add the cherry syrup, and then they put the seltzer shoot into it, and then they could make the sodas, and we'd sit there and have hamburgers. This is back around 1965.
Back in the good old days.
Old days.
Yeah, man. All right, so what are we going to hear today? Who did you interview?
I interviewed a National Park Ranger named Dawn Olson, who works for the Martin Van Buren
National Historic Site. So that's part of the National Park Service?
That's right. She's a National Park Ranger.
Is her uniform brown or green or a little bit of each? Was she in uniform?
She's in uniform with the National Park.
Yeah.
And I met her when she was in official business. You'll be hearing the interview.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to hear. This is a Martin Van Buren National Historic Site here in Kinderhook, New York. The Children's Corner here in Columbia County. Sounds like CSX coming through.
Yes.
This must be the train. This must be the place.
Is there a song for that? This must be the train.
This is the song right here called This Must Be the Place. If Cowboy Kurt were here, he'd be playing I Like Trains by Fred Eagle Smith. Fast Trains. By the way, Cowboy Kurt will be on tonight. I think there might be a Ghosty Girl appearance as well. Cowboy Kurt, Ghosty Girl, 7 to 9:30 p.m. every other Monday. That's 7 to 9:30 p.m. Coyote Ghost Radio. Catch them tonight. They will be rocking out with their socks out. Definitely going to be some good stuff. So let's cut to Rob Gellis's interview. As CSX rolls on through, we're going to hear about Martin Van Buren. I really wish, Rob, that you had asked her about Martin Van Buren's sideburns. Where did he get the sideburns from? That's okay. Yep, that's CSX. Ah, yes.
Hello, this is Rob Gellis. My guest today is Dawn Olson, who is a park ranger at the Martin Van Buren National Historic Site. Hello, Dawn. How are you today?
Good, thanks. It's chilly out there. Nice to be in here and where it's warm.
When was Martin Van Buren National Historic Site established?
Our little site was established in October of 1974, and that's during President Ford's administration. The house had been privately lived in since the 1860s when Martin Van Buren passed away.
Could you tell me a little more about Martin Van Buren?
He is a native son of Columbia County, born in Kinderhook at the end of the Revolutionary War, and then he died just shy of his 80th birthday during the second year of the Civil War. So he's not one of our more well-known politicians or presidents, although we consider that our mission here at the historic site. So he had seven brothers and sisters, and it was a very lively household where he spent his early years as the son of a farmer and tavern keeper. Then his first time really away from home outside of the family was during his years of apprenticing to a local lawyer and then passing the bar exam just before his 21st birthday, when he would move to Hudson and start a law practice there.
Had Martin Van Buren retired from public office when he moved into Lindenwald?
Oh, I should have actually said that earlier. So he's well known for 40 years as a lawyer and a politician. The first political office he held was that of a local judge, and then he held offices at the state level, a senator here in New York, and also a United States senator before becoming an advisor to Andrew Jackson and then Andrew Jackson's successor. So there's a lot to learn about Martin Van Buren if you were to come here and take a house tour or take a tour around the grounds. Those are self-guided. That's a self-guided option. And he hadn't quite retired from public office. He is remembered as the eighth president, 1837 to 1841. And then he bought this house hoping for a second term, which did not work out for him, and came home to Kinderhook as a widower with four adult sons, and they would spend quite a bit of time here as well. We might talk more about that a little bit later.
Who else lived at Lindenwald?
In addition to these adult sons, three of whom would marry, and their grandchildren, there was also a household full of young women, many of them of Irish descent, who worked as domestic servants. And then additionally, there were farmhands who managed the 220-acre working farm, most of that land still in agricultural use today.
What additions did Martin Van Buren make to the home?
That's a very interesting question. His youngest son, Smith Thompson Van Buren, who also was a lawyer, came home to the Kinderhook area when his law practice wasn't going quite according to plan, and encouraged his father, the ex, as they called Martin Van Buren, to enlarge the house and to modernize the house. So the result of that would be a house that was doubled in size and had all the latest in modern technology for the mid-1800s, including indoor plumbing in the bathroom and in the kitchen. He also added this great tower to the house, which you would have to stop by in order to fully appreciate that. It's a 4.5-story tower that ties in this 1850 addition with the modern house that was built just before 1800.
Martin Van Buren was interested in modern technology and innovations. Can you talk about the coffee maker?
Oh, the coffee maker. So we have the house is furnished so that if Martin Van Buren came in through the front door, as our historian often says, he would recognize the spaces. He might want to rearrange the furniture. And one of the highlights on a small scale is this great coffee maker from the 1850s. And we have recently acquired a modern version of that 1850s coffee maker. And visitors can now see either on Facebook, where there's a link Or they can look on our YouTube channel and see this video of the 20-minute process to make fantastic coffee in the mid-1800s. And it was one of our summer interns, Daniel, who spent a lot of time and energy with the help of two park rangers making this video happen.
How do listeners visit the historic site?
If the conversation that Rob and I have had here whets your appetite for Martin Van Buren, the site is open on weekends starting in late April through the end of the school year, and then we open 7 days a week in the busy months of June, July, and August. Actually, we're open 7 days a week through the end of October, so you could call the site, 518-758-9689, for more information, or it might be easier to check out the park's website, which is www.nps.gov. So running that all together, www.nps.gov, and then you can look at any of the 400-plus national parks across the country, some of them small sites like this historic house museum, and then all the way across the country to the larger sites like Yellowstone and Yosemite and Grand Canyon. We'd love to have you. And knowing that this is the only national park in Columbia County, also part of our claim to fame. So you're all invited to come visit us or check us out online. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dawn, for being on my program today. And as the listeners know, there's also walking trails around Van Buren site too that you can walk all year round. Anything? Are there some across
those brochures we keep at a rack in the parking lot to encourage people to come out and walk the grounds? And then there's a neat little trail that connects this Martin Van Buren's house to the Dutch farmhouse just a mile up the road. So that would be snowshoeing in the winter and a three mile walk round trip in the summertime. And then across the road, there are some trails which are considered nature trails. Those are maintained by the Friends of Lindenwald, so Friends of the National Historic Site.
Thank you so much today, Dawn, for talking to my audience about Martin Van Buren and the Martin Van Buren National Historic Site.
You're welcome, and we hope to hear from some of you and meet you in person in the future. Thanks.
There you have it. Rob, that's a great interview. That is, once again, tell us who she was and the Martin Van Buren National Historic Site.
That was Ranger Dawn.
Ranger Dawn. And I really just love how she said, if Rob's program whets your appetite for more Martin Van Buren, come and give us a visit. That was awesome.
Well,
she's great.
Thank you so much. And I hope that my listeners, you can get out there and enjoy the trails through the whole year.
Absolutely. And let's get that Sam Suddy and Son building up and running once again. It's been many, many moons since they were a thriving little candy store and soda fountain. There are people, I think Lynn Slonaker here at WGXC may even remember the time when it was open for business long, long, long ago. And I actually interviewed, I have a friend, John Ronzani. John and Jen Ronzani, they run a farm. They run a CSA, a local CSA, Biodynamic CSA farm. They've been very active in the community. They've been here on the radio several times. And John Ronzani talked about, I believe it was his uncle or great uncle that came from Italy and built that building. And had a little a store there. So we had talked a little more about that building. I think he was trying to get a little green market, little grocery store, little vegetable stand or something in there. And I would love to see that happen again.
Well, so I spoke to Carmine Ronzani, maybe the father of the couple, and he said he really would like to keep it as a soda fountain place. And it was built in 1914.
There you go. Rob, I, as always, really appreciate you coming in, and thanks for your contributions. And keep it going. Keep it up.
Definitely. And thank you, and WGXC FM 90.7 FM. Everybody should be listening to it.
That's right. You guys hear that? Say it again, Rob.
WGXE FM 90.7 on your dial.
And everybody should be listening to it. Ka-chow! Poo! You got it.